brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus and Yahushua, HaMashiach, Lord and Savior. Yeah, you know, it's a little bit tough sometimes to keep from getting cold and disgruntled and to not respond harshly amidst a world that will lie to your face, look you in the eye and lie to you. You know, I think sometimes it's just so brazen, so shameless these days, how far things have gone. I don't know if it's out of desperation or just people have gotten so comfortable in their deceptions. You know, it's kind of funny. I was sitting down in a spot waiting for an appointment that I had, and there was one of these magazines in this. And this waiting room, and there was, it's like a health magazine, and it was going through some different tips that they know from science on how to live longer, and there was things in there like, okay, stay married. It said stay married. Anybody that's married for over 10 years, you know, generally lives longer than the people that are not. You know, there was. Be nice. People that are nice live longer, and people that are not. You know what's funny is, like, the world sells an image, sells a perception of something, but the truth of the matter is that principles that are in general godly, in general kind of just in line with God's truth and who He is, that you'll have a better life. You know, even if you don't, even if you're not following Christ, even if you're not following truth, well, if you were to implement principles that God has put in order, things that He has initiated and put into motion in the universe, well, the byproduct of that is that you're going to have a better life. And the worlders, with all of their research and their stats and everything, they realize this. And yet, they refuse to ultimately come to the source of all of what that is. They refuse to follow the giver of life, the giver of truth, the one that makes it all happen. So it's a bit of a sad thing to see, because, you know, in the end, with all of their posturing, even their own scientists that have actually dug into it, you know, the good ones, the ones that have actually gone further, the ones that really have looked into it, they see the hand of God. Intelligent design, case in point, and why it is so they're seethingly angry against intelligent design, the spirits that work in those that have been given place in their system, to try to keep even those discussions away. You know, it's a spiritual thing. It's not on the natural thing, because on the natural level, anybody with half a brain can tell that there is God's hand in what it is that we see. But it's a spiritual thing that opposes, just with a seething anger built in, light and truth, and that which would set people free. So, alas. It is what it is. I don't give it a pass as such, you know, but I don't lose any sleep over it either, because the world will be what they are, and we, the children of light and truth, will be what we are. And at the point where God has us to engage, because they've stepped over a line that no one is allowed to step over, at that point, at that place, sure, we'll dispatch them. You know, the very top of their system is nothing when God decides to do something. When God decides to do something on these guys, they're finished. Cases in point, Jesus' discussion with Pilate, where Pilate said, you know, don't you know that I've got the authority to crucify you or to let you go? And Jesus told him, look, you have zero if it were not given to you by God. But the one that's handed me over to you, that's the one that's guilty of a greater sin. Now, another case in point, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Another case in point, Herod. Herod the Tetrarch. Mr., you know, the voice of an angel as they were pumping up his ego. And because he refused to give glory to God, struck down, eaten by worms, and died. So all of his manipulation, all of his power, all of his trying to hold on to his throne and authority, and his greatness in the eyes of the world meant nothing when something as simple as a few worms decided to start chewing on the guy's insides. So, you know, God, your life is held in balance by the Spirit of God. Your life is allowed to exist in this dimension purely because God allows it to be so. And, you know, there is a way that God intends for things to be. When people, he allows some flex in this whole thing because he's allowing for the expression of free will. But when people step over a line that they're not allowed to, he puts them back in check. So, you know, we do that. We enforce, when necessary, that spiritual smackdown that may be necessary. And I know people don't like it. You know, I know people, they would seek to, you know, call that unloving, call that judgmental, call it whatever they want to call it. But the problem, see, the thing is, what would be unloving is to let people continue down this path of deception, of self-delusion, all the way into their graves, and then at that place, then come to the realization, oh my gosh, I missed it. Better you have a shake-up on this side, and you realize that everything that you ever believed in is not, and is not true, and is a lie, and then out of that, to then now get correct, or at least have that opportunity, which is one of the blessings and the silver linings of tough times. But no, most people, you know, they think that you or God, or that if you were anything to do with any standard, any discomfort, anything going away, that you're now unloving and just a bad person. And the thing is, too, is like, no. You know, God chastens those that he loves, those that he recognizes as his children. So if God does that to his own children, you know, what do you think should be reserved for those that are props on the stage that step out of line? So, you know, it's a blessing to have the chance to wake up. It's better that it comes sooner than later. It's better that people have this chance to turn around and get right and walk their lives out with him. So, yeah, you know, I am a little bit tired. You know, I am a little bit, there's a lot going on. It's a bit exhausting on the physical. You know, I know I don't talk too much about a lot of the things that I do, but because that's not, you know, you don't need that. What you need is whatever it is that I may get from God to say, and that you may be quickened to listen in and tune in on. That's it. So the rest of it is inconsequential. My hope and my goal for each and every one of us is that we would finish this race, that we would walk strong, that we would complete the task and the journey that God has called us into. That's my hope. You know, but along the way, yeah, we do get tired. You know, we do hit those walls of limitation in the natural. And even in those places, those are times where we bow our knee before the King of Kings and we say, Lord, I just need to be here for a while. I just need you. I can't keep going. Unless you meet me where I'm at, unless you smooth the way, I can't walk. And he does. You know, I look back for myself throughout my life, and yeah, for me, when I've been walking with him and I look back, I see time and again how he's come through, how he's picked me up, how he's met me where I've been at, and just watched over me, you know, carried me through. And, you know, even in this life, when he's given me the chance just to rest, to unplug, to look at things from his perspective, and to be separate from those situations, when all of that has happened, every time I look back, I can just see, you know, his hand. And, you know, in the end too, he gives us rest. You know, even on this side, we get those windows of rest and those times of refreshing along the way, along the journey. And then we reset and we keep going. I know it's not easy. This road wasn't meant to be easy. It wasn't meant to be easy. It was not meant to be a journey that, you know, it is a rocky road, of course, but he is the way. And you keep going in this thing, God will strengthen you. God will equip you for this. So, yeah, you know, interesting, an interesting experience, just a little bit ago. So a guy walks up to me trying to panhandle me, and, you know, all right, so he comes up and he says his wife is a leukemia patient. And he needs some help to help her out because she's struggling with leukemia. Now, something in me just like, okay, something's not right. I mean, it wasn't even a long processing, a long thought. Let me hear this spiel of this guy. It was just inside of me, instant reaction. Okay, no. And point blank said to this guy, no. And then I walk by, and then I'm walking back because I just have to get something. And then as soon as I'm walking back, the guy says, my wife is a, sir, please help me. My wife is a breast cancer patient. I was like, wait a second. Didn't you say leukemia before? He's like, no, something. I think he even said something along the lines of, you know, same thing, or like she's got the same, whatever. But it was just like, you know, and it's just, look, when when something quickens you inside and you respond to the things that are around you, respond quick, be decisive about it. Don't apologize either. You know, I think the church programming has been very damaging for a lot of us, because you know how often we've been programmed to apologize for truth, to apologize for being the ones that speak what God is saying and for His light shining through us. You know, you do a disservice, actually, when you do that. There is no need for us to apologize for speaking the truth. There is no need for us to... We're actually doing... that is an element of tough love. So we help where God has for us to help. We pour ourselves out where God has for us to pour ourselves out. But in the middle of that, there are those too that would have to take, to siphon off, to ensure that you have less to work with, whatever it may be. And you have to confront those. And you have to confront those quickly, and don't waste much time on it. See, I've learned this a little bit more about this trick of the enemy as time has gone on. One thing he wants to do too is to soak up your time. Because see, the devil knows even better than humanity knows. Maybe as people get older, they realize this more. But how valuable your time is. Because you have a very limited window in this life. It's very short. From an eternal perspective, it's just a flash in the pan. It's just quick. It's a shooting star. And when, you know, and with that process, with time, you know, being short in this life, the devil would love to waste as much of it as possible in your life, with as many stupid pursuits and as many things that are detached from the Spirit of God as he could. So, you know, that includes things that have a form of godliness, but to deny the power thereof, dead works, religion, laboring in the world and a lot of things that are surrounded in that paradigm that have zero to do with Christ and with what he's called you into. If he can get you on that track, that in and of itself is part of his objective. So even if he can't get you to go the wrong way, if he can hinder you, shackle you with weights so that you now are running heavy, running slow, you're hardly moving, hardly walking, he'll try that too. So that's why scriptures tell us in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, to cast aside every weight, the sin that so easily besets us. That since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know, do away with these things. You can set those things off. But one thing that's necessary is realizing what they are. I tell you what, for me, I've had windows in my life where I've had certain just spiritual weights on my life that just kind of got there as a result of living and just, you know, kind of making some choices, not really seeing things for what they were. And then through God's grace and God's mercy, for those things to be then taken off of my life because of some situations and circumstances that might have happened, I can't tell you how free, how happy I was in those situations, in those times, when I realized that that which was a weight was no longer holding me. You know, I mean, the world is shackled. The world is heavy. Even you know, these ones that, that in the world system that they kind of hold up as the models of cavalier living and all of that in the world, they're some of the most bound ones you could imagine. I was talking with a friend the other day a little bit about fashion stuff, and because I know a few people that are involved in that industry, and you would think that these, so many of these, you know, girls or even the guys, but some that they're that they would be, you know, confident because they're the, in the eyes of a lot of people, they're being held up as the epitome of beauty and of what people aspire to. Quite the contrary. So many of them are so insecure and constantly being rated by everybody else that's around them for a quarter inch being put on here and a half inch being lost there. They're so bound, so ridiculously bound. And no depth in most. I won't say all of them. Most of them. There's some really cool people in there too, but they're few and far between because so many of them have they lack that which is necessary, and. But yet the world describes to be like them, and they themselves they don't have what's necessary. You know, they don't have, and then just as time goes on, look, age, life happens, things change, and when the Spirit of God flows through you, everything is different. It doesn't matter how things are in the world, how things are in the natural. I mean, sure, you do what you can, and you work with the Spirit of God to so that the bodies that you're in last for the lifetime that God intended them to. That your body is an asset and not a liability. Sure, you do that. But that said, it's like, you know, this is just a shell. You're just passing through. And the suit that you're in is just what's sufficient for the paradigm that you're in. But when it's done, got zero issues of checking out of this life. Because, you know what? There is, I mean, this world, this life, everything that it is, you know, I see the beauty of God's creation, God's hand, but also too, I would rather I would rather be with the Father completely without the attacks of the enemies and all of this, the fakeness that's there and all of the lies and all of that. Yeah, of course I'd rather be without that. But soon enough, my friends. Right now is the window of time that God has for us to be here, to be about His plan and purposes. So let us continue on with what God is doing. And He that began a good work in us will certainly carry it on to completion. So hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Catch up with you again sometime soon. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.